Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today, we have a brand new co-host, as usual, for you. This time, we're coming back over Skype, not one of my normal traveling around in-person co-hosting sessions. But we have a pretty fit and healthy and professional young lady coming on the show here today. And there's a lot of little letters next to her name when you profile her. She's a NASM certified personal trainer, definitely into the fitness and nutrition specialties, which she and I are probably going to geek out about since we both agree on that. But she's got a number of different brands out there right now. Quick little background on her. She works with doctor's offices, chiropractors, dentists, physical therapists. I mean, she's definitely playing at a whole different level than the average new personal trainer out there. So one thing that I like about her background is that she's actually done a little branding for herself. And as a marketing guy, I love that. So just a couple of quick brands. She's the name behind body-buddies.com. I'm throwing the hyphen in there in case you guys need to type into that right now. Fatlossworkoutapp.com. So we're going to talk about a little bit of apps today. And poweryourlifetoday.com. So there's a number of things going on here. She's working on foods and fitness and fat loss and apparently powering your life up, which I'm loving that. So let's just bring her on the show here today. Welcome, Christy Jo Hunt.
Thank you, Scott. I'm super excited to be here on Live the Fuel podcast. Fuel, that's what it's about.
Yes.
Oh, it's like a fire burning. I have a fire burning inside of me. I'm excited to see what we're going to do today.
Well, and that's the beauty of this show is that it's all open format. We're just going to see where it takes us. And the cool thing is you and I have some common ground here. And the beauty is I'm loving the fact that for our listeners, she's dialing in from Southern Utah today. So We briefly, right before we started the recording here, we're talking a little bit about that. And I spent some time out there. The hiking is majestic. Where are you at right now? Like, how close are you? Are you close to Zion? Which one are you? Park?
Yeah, I'm about 45 minutes southwest of Zion right now. Okay. I grew up in St. George, which is in that southwestern corner just before you start on your way to Vegas. So I grew up summers camping in Zion, hiking Zion. I know that place up and down, and it is beautiful. All of your listeners need to at least one time make a trip out.
Which is the hike where you're going up like this pillar or spine has chains, which railing on it. It's like staircase
landing.
Thank you. Loved that hike. I did that with snow falling. So which is in Southern Utah isn't always that normal. So it was very cold when I did it.
Yeah, that's not normal. Absolutely. And Walter's Wiggles. I'm sure you love those switchbacks too.
Yes.
They're pretty tough.
You know, and it's funny thing is I did them in my fire boots. So they were like all solid leather boots, like up halfway up ankle. And my friends were like, what is wrong with you? I said, listen, dude, I mean, for some of our listeners, and I briefly, it's funny, real quick, rewind. Christy Jo and I were trying to connect over the past week or here, so just a little miscommunication. And then so she then connects with me over Skype the other night just to make sure we're good to go for today. And I didn't even mention to her one of the crazy adrenaline junkie things I did, which was I'd done the 2 years of wildland firefighting out west. So she just learned about that because that's how I know about those parks is the beauty of doing that crazy adventure job for the government for 2 years is that when I had days off, I maximized them. My base was in Arizona. My days off, I was traveling all over the place and filling in time and hiking and exploring. And Utah is just gorgeous.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad you appreciate my native land.
Well, and now you don't live down in Southern Utah, correct? You're actually up in Park City or you?
Yeah, I'm actually closer to Ogden right now.
Oh, I so love
that's
Ogden.
About 45 minutes north of Salt Lake, and it's just dumping snow right now. I'm so happy to be in a much warmer climate for a few days.
Well, in Ogden, I'm getting crazy connections here. So before I went entrepreneurial, I was looking at other, you know, fitness-themed companies when I was still trying to find myself. And I remember there's a couple of really cool companies out of Ogden, I believe. So that's a good area to be in.
Yeah, Utah's huge for the supplement industry, for fitness. It's a really, really a great place to be. So if anybody is, you know, kind of looking to find a great place to network and build, it's a solid place to network and find people that are like-minded.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't a lot of people see, okay, well, big successful states. Okay, well, you got California, you got New
California.
York. And admittedly, years ago, I worked for a big company called T-Mobile, so I spent time going back and forth to Seattle. Very expensive to live in that area. But I could tell you, outside of Seattle, that was definitely a cool state. And Oregon. But Utah and Colorado are definitely two of my top favorites.
See, and I've only been to Colorado once. How sad is that? It's like my next door neighbor.
You're right
state.
Next door. Come on.
I've been to California so many times and not Colorado.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, come on. You want to get a little coastal exposure once in a while. Get a workout
exactly.
on the beach. I mean, it's about the lifestyle. So, yeah. And no offense on Salt Lake. The beaches aren't really as exciting as California.
No, unless you want to go float in some nasty salt water filled with all kinds of bugs.
Yeah.
No one goes in the Great Salt Lake, if anyone didn't know that. Nice to look at, and that's it.
One of my goals when I decided to do that little adventure, leave the corporate world, was I was like, I can't. I've always wanted to do a coast-to-coast trip. So I was like, became a road warrior, because over those 2 years, that's all I did. If I wanted to go see my family, I didn't fly. I just drove back to the East Coast. So I would just do coast-to-coast road trips all the time. And it puts a lot of miles on your car, but you see the beauty of our amazing country, Go USA.
Oh, yeah. Well, and here's the thing about that. I think so often people don't do things because they're afraid of those small things, like putting mileage on a car. Well, what did you buy a car to do? You know, like live your life. And so I love that. Too many are held back. And I think that way of thinking transitions into every aspect of life. So people, put your mileage on your car in everything you do.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's nice. So, you know, let's tie that back to the human body, since we're both health and fitness and wellness nuts. And it's like, how many people are afraid to put miles on their body? I mean, there's so many different ways of defining that, because you got people who are obsessed with plastic surgery, and then there's people who are afraid to go maybe try CrossFit, since I'm a CrossFit coach. And it's like, well, I don't want to beat myself up too much. Or I'm like, you do know that the human body is an amazing machine, and it likes change, and it likes challenge, and it responds well.
Right. Well, and something I think about often is what a person experiences between the ages of probably 8 and 20 is going to determine a lot of their adult attitude towards fitness and exercise. So if they were the kid out in the street playing kickball, running around at recess, then I'm not too worried about them getting into the gym and finding adult like leagues to play on, different sports or family reunions, being out there playing football and such. It's the people who in their teenage years really didn't, they weren't pushed. They weren't taught to have that feeling of burn in the muscles or that discomfort of having lungs that are trying to gasp for air. I do come across many people who have a genuine fear of pushing their body to that level. And I can understand and appreciate that, but also say, and now's the time to begin embracing it.
You know, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because we all grow up different ways. And you have a very unique background. You and I haven't had a really solid chance to really dig into everything about you. Our little interview call the other night was awesome.
Yeah.
While I was traveling in upstate New York, you were, I don't know where you were. Were you actually home?
I was home.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm now not traveling and you are traveling.
And
so
I am.
There we go.
That's right.
But you have an interesting backstory here. And I think tying into youth development, I'm not a parent. I have a lot of friends who are parents, and I have a lot of people that I coach at the gym and we work out with that are also parents and family people. And it's amazing to see them being healthy and fit, and also seeing that come down to the youth level. But I, even though I'm not a parent, I've worked with youth ski race athletes, you know, as a USSA ski race coach for like 11 years. So it's basically a parent of 50 to 60 people.
Absolutely.
But let's get a little background on you here. I mean, did you have that positive influence from a young age during those key developmental years?
Yeah, absolutely. My parents are very active, and my dad was back in the day, he was a high school football and basketball coach. And I don't think he was actively doing that when I was growing up, but before I was born and such. But I do remember little things like, I have 6 siblings, first of all. That'll surprise a lot of people. I'm the 4th of 7.
Wow.
Yeah, go Utah Mormon family, right?
I fought fire with a couple of Mormon guys, and I learned a lot more about that lifestyle. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I know there's some large families.
there are. We had the whole suburban thing. We're all 2 years apart. And the cool thing is they're all, you know, some of my best friends now.
That's awesome.
But growing up, we'd play basketball in the driveway. And my dad would teach me how to shoot a basketball. We would play football catch. We'd play softball catch. We'd be playing kickball and going out in the backyard. I was the type of kid that didn't get to do a lot of the things I wanted to just due to finances being pretty tight. And I remember I wouldn't call them girlfriends when I was young, but I would now, you know, my friends that would come over and play.
Of course.
And they'd be sitting there stretching and showing me some of their dance moves they learned at dance. And I always wanted to dance. And okay. So that was something I wanted to do. And instead I just played all the city league sports, soccer, volleyball, all of those things. But when I was 12, there was a free workshop for a dance workshop in town. And so my mom took my younger sisters and I to it, and I had a ball. I had no idea what I was doing. These other girls looked so great. They knew what they were talking about. As they said, I would like you to do a chenille, pique, attitude leap, and then end in a susu. And I'm like, a what? And I just probably looked silly flying across the floor, but it felt like my heart was free. And I remember going home just thinking, oh, I would just love to do that again. But because of finances, we couldn't do that. And it must have been a
six-child family is no small project.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And my parents worked very, very hard. About a week or so later, I don't know the exact time frame, but I came home from school and my mom, she sat me down and said, I got a letter today in the mail. And she was a little teary-eyed. And this dance instructor had written her. And she said, your girls have so much potential and so much talent. And forgive me if I'm overstepping, but if it is only finances that's holding you back from putting them in dance, I'd like to offer them a scholarship.
Get out of here.
Wow.
You left that big of an impact.
Well, I don't know what she saw, but the beautiful thing, what came about from one woman's generosity is she built me, essentially. I knew I was behind the other girls, and so I had to work extremely hard. And I was there early, and I was the last one to stay. When we'd do technique across the floor, other girls would just stand there at the side waiting until their turn. No, I'd be practicing every ounce I could, staying after, asking questions. And I quickly grew and advanced in my skills. And then later I made the high school drill team, became the junior captain, the senior captain, started competing in solo competitions and doing very well in them.
And what style of dance is this? Or just kind of like all across the board?
Yeah, it's kind of everything from contemporary jazz, hip hop, modern, that type of thing.
Wow.
So a lot of the styling of dancing too that you would see at like halftime, you know, performers and dancers.
Oh yeah, like professional basketball teams type their halftime
yes.
shows. Yeah, okay. So
yes.
It's not just. It's interesting.
It's a very athletic.
I was going to say, because like there's old school cheerleading, and then there's like mm-hmm. competitive cheerleading. Like this is like legit. Like you're working in gymnastics movements, dance movements, like
yes.
all kinds of stuff.
It's
a serious workout.
It is. Oh, it's a huge workout. And so then in college later, I went on to dance in college and get introduced to the artistic side of dance. And that set me on fire. I mean, I loved dance before then, but it entered a whole new realm for me. And I was tutored under this incredible professor at Dixie State. Her name's Dr. Lee Lei. And she's actually one of, I believe, two Chinese women to hold a doctorate degree in dance from the United States.
Oh, really? It's that small of a niche.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Lee Lei. I'll have to look her up.
She's incredible. She does lectures and things on physics and kinesiology. And so she was able to tutor me and built a lot of what now is my understanding of the way our bodies work in regards to physics and movement, and incorporating that plus the artistry from my dance background into now what I do with aesthetics training. And if anybody ever saw me in the gym, they'd just be like, what is she doing? I'm like a mix of a dancer / physics, like total geek, and a bodybuilder in the gym. Like nobody can figure out how I do what I do. It's fun. It's like my playground.
And you're probably reducing, I mean, not to change it, but like you're probably reducing the risk of injury too, because anytime you could do strength training mixed with mobility, mixed with yoga, or in your case, mixed with dance, I mean, you are truly conditioning the entire body.
Right. And that's it. So that's a lot of my background with the athleticism. When I was 18 and high school drill team stopped, that's when I got introduced to the weight room by my oldest brother. And he had a military background, and he was just adamant that I learn how to push myself.
Yep.
And I'll never forget him teaching me how to do something, telling me, don't be weak. Don't be a weak girl. Be strong, push through, feel the burn. I don't care if it hurts, you keep going. And ironically enough, so he's passed away actually now. He died 4 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
Was it in service?
No, it was actually, he took his life, and that's another huge topic that does come up a lot of times with people, and PTSD, addiction, and my family, we openly talk about it because it's been able to help many who are struggling.
Oh gosh. Yes. This is not a small thing.
Yeah, so. No. And it's very real. And yes, it very much needs to be talked about openly. But going back to it, I hear his voice every day lifting, and I say, don't be a weak girl, be strong, push through, you can do hard things. And he was able to leave that legacy with me, which now goes into everything I do.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you're actually a piece of technically his legacy. He's one of your influencers. Obviously your coach, I call her a coach, but your dance teacher from a young age was probably one of your first mentors, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely.
And obviously over the years, including your brother and others, we all pick up new mentors along the way. So.
Well, and that's the power of people. And what maybe our listeners don't realize, that the power and the influence they have in other people's lives. So often we walk around thinking, oh, what I do doesn't really matter, and people don't know about me, care about me. But if you could hear the stories, perhaps, of those you are able to influence, I wonder how our perceptions of ourselves would change. If we would maybe walk with a little more lightness to our step, have a little more optimism and positivity, it seems that no matter the level of success a person achieves, they're always dealing with those thoughts of, am I enough? Have I left enough of a mark? When is it enough? I don't know that there's ever an answer to that, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I've been curious about that for a long time.
That's a crazy question. Because admittedly, you probably get addressed that many often too. I mean, people probably come up to you like, when is it enough? I mean, well, why do we have to answer that question? I don't know. I mean, let's just rewind back to how we started this conversation, which was like, listen, the whole point is like, we should be challenging ourselves. Like your brother influenced you with strength training to challenge you and take you to the next level. I see this in CrossFit. It's like, okay, people come in, they might not know how to do an Olympic lifting movement. That's okay. We'll scale it and we will adapt it to you until you have developed the strength and the form and the technique and the mobility necessary to safely do the movement. And then along the way, we'll be showing you gymnastics and more body weight conditioning and everything else. So it's like the whole point here is that we should be constantly challenging ourselves to learn something new, improve ourselves, and don't be afraid of that next challenge, that next lesson. At least that's how I look at life anyway.
Totally, Scott. And you know what's interesting is it's very formulaic. When you think about any big task, if you could break it down into those smaller steps, they don't have to be baby steps like that phraseology out there is, but it's a sequence of events that you can do anything, but you have to break that down into these bite-sized chunks. And so yes, whether it's a new lift, whether it's a new exercise, whether it's a new way of eating, whether it's a new business you're starting or book you're writing, whatever it is, stop looking at the big picture of it and thinking, man, that's just too big. I can't do that. That's for other people. And
you gotta chunk it down. Let's chunk it down.
Yeah. And when people get that and realize that they can completely program themselves to be and do whatever they want, it's a very powerful way of thinking.
Well, so quick little lesson for our listeners is that if you want to see a taste of just who Christy Joe is, I mean, besides, you can go, like I said, I already hinted, you can go to body-buddies.com, but actually just Google her name. Like it's Kristy, and then just throw Joe, J-O in there and hunt, because I did some of that. And I was like, okay, she gets around. I mean, you got a lot of obviously professional photo shoots, but I mean, when was your first physique competition?
Oh, 2012, May. Yes. Oh,
okay. Now,
and I'll be honest, I was so small muscularly at the time.
Right. And the interesting thing is now with building more muscle and strength, you're not just a stronger woman physically, but I'm sure you're also mentally and your confidence boosts. I can't, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I cannot stand runway models, the magazine models. I can't stand magazines. I just, it's disgusting. I mean, no offense. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a guy, and you being a professional, strong woman who helps influence positively other to other women, please correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I want to see strong women. I find it much more, I find you much more attractive. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, women should not be afraid of, first of all, throw the scale out. I'm sick and tired of the scale.
yes.
It's all about measurements, okay? I mean, if you're just, if you're staring at your scale all the time and dropping weight, you're not going to look good in a physique competition. You're not going to feel good. You're going to feel weak and beat down. You're not strong. I don't know. How would you speak to that?
Oh, I have so many stories come to mind. First and foremost, agree 100%. Curves are in, ladies. Curves are in. And let me tell you about a woman who was able to experience this in front of my eyes. She was cleaning my home because I work from home. Mm-hmm. And she walked in my office and she just had this deer in the headlights look. I said, honey, what's wrong? She holds up a pair of pants that she was folding and putting away. I'm like, did you rip them? Like, what's wrong? And she's like, Christy, they're a size 12. And I looked at her, and for a moment I was very confused, and then it clicked. She had this idea that being fit and ripped comes with the typical thought that that's a size 0 or 2 or 4. Well,
hell
ladies,
no.
I haven't been a size 0, 2, or 4 since probably the fourth grade.
Yeah.
So I took that opportunity to explain to her that sizes and scales mean nothing, that I actually weigh now more than I did in all my years of dieting and trying to be skinny, and that I look a million times better now because it's a body composition thing. It's about muscle to body fat ratios and getting those curves in the right places strategically to help compensate for maybe some weaknesses. For example, I have 50-degree scoliosis. I have a very awkwardly curved spine.
Oh, wow.
And no one would really know it because I have trained myself over the years to not only hold my posture correctly, but I have had to work very hard to build out my lats and my shoulders to help my waist look small because of the curvature. I do have a very compact waist. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a 25-inch waist, ladies. Like, and that whole notion, the 70s that got programmed into people thinking teensy tiny waist and, you know, just very thin all around. It's very difficult to see that because I know the mindsets behind them. And I'll tell you, ladies, and here's the thing. Let me not exclude the men because I have worked with men who
have
an issue with the scale too.
We definitely need to include the men in here, guys. So, we have just as much body image.
Yes, absolutely. So everybody, all of our listeners, it's really critical to realize what goes into those scale weights. And Scott, I'm sure you'll agree with this. When a person can learn the physiology of how the body holds water, if we have an influx of carbohydrates, which breaks down to glucose, if your body can't actively use that glucose at the time, your body has a storage mechanism mm-hmm. called the liver and glycogen. It's going to form it together into these long chains, but here is the real game-winning point you have to get in your head. In order to store glycogen, your body needs 4 molecules of water per gram of glycogen. So if you have a little bit more glucose coming in than your body is used to, yes, you will be storing that and attracting more water. So your scale weight could
here's a
go
quick,
up.
Here's a quick point. Where is that being stored?
Yeah, liver and muscle sites, right?
And then long-term, it could get transferred into?
Muscle.
Wait, well, no, I'm actually referring to people who are not on the unhealthy side of this equation about fat storage and things of that nature as well. So like there's 2 ways to go in this path.
Yes. If you tip out those storage sites, for sure, that's overspilling into fat storage.
Yeah. Like your fat is designed to protect you. People don't realize that. It's like, oh, there's excess stuff. My system's not processing everything. It can't filter it all out either. The muscles don't need it all, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not referring to overeating. I'm referring to just, obviously, since you're talking about glucose, I'm referring to just the excessive sugar intake in our lifestyles these days. It's like, guys, your body's not designed to take that much sugar in.
Yeah, our body is designed to handle 1 teaspoon of sugar at a time. And guess what? That's a natural sugar that's in foods naturally.
You mean like vegetables?
Vegetables and, you know, fructose is primarily in fruit, but there is still a little glucose. Carbohydrates like yams and rice and beans and whole grains and all of that. Now I know you're a no grains guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not a no grains person. I'm the way I teach nutrition is user specificity. And so if a person has a health condition, we kick out grains. But other than that, it's a wise pairing with a protein and a vegetable.
Well, and again, like anything else, going back to your earlier point, is you've got a master plan in effect.
Yes.
Everything is going to take baby steps and a process. You can't, you know, defeat the world in, you know, in a week. I mean,
yeah. And why do people think that and then give up?
Yeah. I mean, I'm an isogenics nutrition guy. Like our body challenge is 16 weeks and people are like, mm-hmm. Well, it's 4 months. Like, well, yeah, because this is not a crash diet. We're not talking about taking special stuff that's going to help you crash out in a week and you look amazing for the beach. Like that is not a healthy lifestyle. This is about reprogramming yourself and taking the necessary steps to teach your body what it should know and where it should go. I mean, obviously, everything that you're doing with, you know, your nutrition background and pairing that with fitness, it's the same thing. That you don't do this, and yeah, obviously, you probably set up a 30-day game plan, but that 30-day game plan is obviously feeding into a 4 to 6 month game plan and a 1 year game plan. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know all your programming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just came out with a 10-day power up. But my 10-day power up goes straight up into the science and saying, this is the way I can teach you and help to get you feeling good. And then we transition into anywhere from, I do 8-week challenges to program lifestyle. But the way I teach is in tiers. And I expect people to live in my tier 2, which people can Google that, or I'm sorry, YouTube, tier 2 power foods lifestyle. That's my baseline expectation for people, is we need, the science is there, to be putting protein and veggies in our bodies throughout the day. The biggest reason for that is because that is the only way proper neurotransmitters, which are those positive brain chemicals like GABA, acetylcholine, serotonin, dopamine, that's the only way they are constructed. So if we're living in this world of depression, anxiety, and panic, and stress, and ADD, do we think there's not a connection to what we can be doing physiologically? That's where I get lit up, because so many times the conversations about nutrition are so focused on external looks.
Oh God, yeah.
And you know, that's cool, but what are we missing?
Well, and again, what you put into your body is what you get out of it. Mm-hmm. So we should be, I know everybody's focused on the outside, but it's like, guys, it has to start on the inside and it will permeate outward. I mean, we can talk about this with people who do energy training and life energy and all that stuff too. We could talk about this from, you know, your heart. I mean, there's so many different ways to talk about this, but I don't care. Let's go right back to nutrition here. It's like, guys, what you're fueling your body with is what's going to fuel your day. It's going to fuel your mindset. It's going to fuel your workout either in the morning or at night or whenever you're doing it. Hopefully, if you are doing a workout. But the biggest thing that I tell people all the time is, I'm like, guys, like, if you're going to the gym for weight loss and you haven't even started tackling your nutrition, don't even pay the money for a gym membership. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I mean, you can probably, I'd love to hear your feedback on this, but real quick on that point is 80 to 90% of the equation is your nutrition. If you're not fueling your body right, everything else is going to fall to the wayside. It's not going to work. So
yes. And let me put it this way for people to maybe understand. In my past of over 20 years of disordered eating, which I think this is the first we've touched on in this interview,
yes.
And that's really a humongous part of my story, the diet binge that became excessive and obsessive to the point that it was about to destroy me.
So this is a personal story here.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And that's the only reason my company exists, is because I was able to make these changes and I started sharing online and you know, the rest is history. But going back to it, the difference for me was that when I could create the environment in my body with nutrition on a chemical level, it changed from punishment to creation. And I'll tell you what, walking in that gym every day, knowing my body is in an environment to receive my sculpting training, my cardiovascular training, my balance, my flexibility, I am a sculptor. I am an artist in that gym rather than punishing myself out of fear for what I ate and because I don't want to get fat, where that was my life for too many years. And I wish everybody could experience that.
So that's interesting what you just said there. And this is men and women. There's that mindset of what I think the exact line you just said was, stop punishing yourself because you're obviously trying to not get fat or get fatter.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that.
Well, and there's so much fear. If we go into the psychology, which is what my Power Your Life Today is all about, is in the psychology of working with those with eating disorders, whether it be binge eating disorder, bulimia, anorexia, sleep-related eating disorder, compulsive eating, you name it, we have to dig down to where perhaps some fears that are irrational have been programmed in. And this could happen through any means. There's faulty information on the internet. Anything that anybody tells you, if you believe them, that gets programmed in as your belief, even if it's faulty. So if you read a blog post that says carbs after 4 p.m. are bad, you're going to think that, and then you have a fear of carbs after 4 are bad, and it can transition. Any inner belief in our subconscious is going to manifest itself in outer behavior. So let's say I believed carbs after 4 were bad, which, by the way, people, is not true.
Well, so again, you can't overeat on vegetables. And people are like, what do you mean? I'm like, vegetables are the good carbs, like good leafy greens. I can make the most giant salad on the face of the earth and I'm still good.
Exactly. Right. And it's understanding composition of foods. But let's say I did. I went to a buffet dinner and I had some rice and I had some potatoes and a cookie. Well, the way that my brain used to function was that went against my programmed in beliefs about nutrition and my level of education at the time. So I would be out at 11 or 12 at night running, trying to burn off these calories or put my finger down my throat, or the next morning skipping college classes so I could go burn it off. I'd be at the gym 2 to 3 times a day. If I had a 10-minute break in between dance classes, I'd be out jogging because of the fear that was so deep that I was not eating perfectly, that went against everything I knew about nutrition. And unfortunately, it was a lack of education, but then later more emotional programming too, to deal with, you know, stress and loneliness or just the regular day-to-day challenges that every person faces that can be the catalyst to some perhaps disordered eating.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So was that in your college years, the disorder, or...
Well, it started when I was very young, actually. It started when I was 9, but it, lest anybody think that somebody told me that I was, you know, overweight, or, I mean, I looked very healthy and I was very fit my whole life.
Okay.
It comes from an A-type personality, which whenever I work with a new person, if they basically describe themselves as an A-type and I look at them and they're a very attractive person, I can already spot it. Before they even say, I say, you deal with this, they're like, oh, how did you know? Oh, because I just know.
Yeah.
So, it started very young and it wasn't excessive then, but I was aware. And I was aware of, oh, I need to burn this off. I ate something bad. I don't even use those words anymore. I don't use the words good or bad. I use the words strategic or non-strategic, which can only be defined if I have a goal.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, I do the whole NSNG thing, no sugars, no grains. The grain thing is obviously, thanks to one of the best books was actually Dr. Perlmutter, who's a PhD researcher.
I love his book.
Right?
Grain.
Yeah. So it's like, All right, everything that I'm doing needs mental power. And everything I'm doing physically, my exercises, I want to reduce inflammation. But the point here is that it doesn't matter what lifestyle you're trying to do. It's the big picture. It's what is your mindset? What are your internal beliefs? Focus on the inside here. Like everything we're talking about right now is, guys, it starts inside before it can go outside.
Yeah, you have to get very clear on what do you even want. Whenever someone asks me, Christy, I just can't get motivated. I say, okay, stop, step away, go up on the bleacher seats of your mind. Let's look down on the playing field. What's going on in your life? What do you want? What is missing? What are you needing validation for? What are you seeking validation for? Where are you lacking confidence? Or if something is off, which, hello, we're all humans playing the game of life, something is going to be off. Don't let that like shake you.
Oh yeah. Guess what? Nobody's perfect.
Yeah. Like for real. And so looking at your life saying, okay, I see some lack of balance here. For example, women come to me a lot of times wanting to compete in bikini or figure competitions as I coach for those. And I do some heavy digging to find out why. Why do they want to do this? And oftentimes, I would say about 70% of the time, I convince people not to compete. And the biggest thing is they're looking for discipline they're looking for a reason to practice a higher level of living.
Sure.
And I'm telling them this is not the way. When you're already at that point and ready to dial in more, then let's talk about physique competitions.
Well, and the other thing is, great, you're looking for a system. You're looking for dedication. Mm-hmm. You're looking for commitment, something to focus on. And this is true. I mean, I've done marathons, half marathons, all that stuff. And yeah, mm-hmm. like everybody knows that when you've got an event, you've already paid for it. It's coming up. Your training changes everything. So I always teach people, like, guys, set a goal. Like, whether it be a CrossFit comp or you're getting ready for a race or just you got to have a goal. And obviously, if you've already paid the money, that's going to help edge you forward as far as following a new system, a program, whatever it may be. And obviously, that's where, like you said, you actually coach people for that type of programming. But one thing that I like to point out on this is, especially for physique, because I've worked with a few people on the physique side, and not at your level, but the biggest thing that I'm reminding people, I'm like, guys, you can't live like that every day.
No. I mean,
nobody walks around ripped every single day. You got inflammatory days, you got water retention days, and plus, it's also not healthy. It's not healthy.
Well, and that's where a lot of my desires as a young girl to look like those models on the magazines and the Shape magazine and the Oxygen magazine.
Yeah.
What I know now that I didn't know then was the peaking programs of how they get their bodies ready for a shoot. And then the second the shoot's over, their body doesn't look like that.
Nope.
And I learned that through all my bodybuilding competitions.
And they run off for a burrito.
Oh, absolutely. And so it's so sad that we are promoting this ideal of perfection, as someone might, you know, say. But then you have to challenge, what's the paradigm of perfection? Are we going to allow that to the magazine editorial, like the editors? Are we going to allow that to all of, essentially, we are allowing marketers to tell us what perfect is, and marketers don't care. All they want is our money. So we have this really screwed up paradigm of what is good enough and perfect as we look at the body, which then lends the fact that we have to look deep inside and say, what is my standard of awesome? And why don't I chase that rather than trying to replicate something that is very falsified and erroneous from the beginning?
Yep. And because again, the program that works for you, it's not going to work for my girlfriend. It's not going to work for me. I have a whole bunch of other coaches I work with. Every single one of us has a different program. We're all physically different, emotionally different, mentally different. I mean, it's a lifestyle too. Like, okay, are you a person who sits in a cubicle all day, then goes to the gym? Are you a person who's in a car traveling? Do you fly a lot? There's all these different components. So finding this perfect textbook, cut and dry system, I got to like pull the wool off of people's eyes here, so to speak. I'm like, guys, like, wake up. Like, it's okay. You got to take a little time to tweak and modify any program to fit what's working for you.
Right. Well, and I think there's a lot with the rising generation that I'm really nervous about, because it's always been a problem, you know, for a big demographic of those who want to feel good enough. But if with the constant social media and technology and Snapchat, Instagram, and so the constant exposure to all of these people, let's say in the fitness world, who, let's be honest, are a little more obsessive, and I wouldn't say many of them are actually balanced.
No, they're just shooting for that viral goal.
They are.
From a marketing
and
perspective.
Yet that's programming the kids. That's programming our teenagers, who it's just going to be a self-perpetuating cycle. And I don't know where to break the system. I don't know where that is. I wish I did.
I think the key to breaking it is people like yourself, myself, other people trying to get content out there. This is what I like to call positive marketing. The real world marketing, the way it should be. But I don't watch the news. I don't have cable. I don't buy a newspaper. I don't buy
you
magazines.
And me both. Okay? Yes.
Why? Not just from the constant bombardment of negative news, because that's what sells.
Yep.
That's why they push that.
That's why
they call
it news.
Exactly. But I mean, I'd rather be surrounding myself with positive energy, positive reinforcement, positive mindset, knowledge, whether it be the podcasts like myself or yourself, which, by the way, real quick plug for you. You got the Body Buddies podcast, and you're up to episode 140 now, right?
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yep. We talk nutrition, fitness, mindset.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, kind of what my theme here is that there's people like yourself, myself, and others who need to step up and say, listen, if you have the experience, you have the knowledge, put it out there. It may not be perfect. It may not be for everyone, but I guarantee you there's a percentage of people that would rather listen to your podcast than my podcast. Hopefully they like them both. But the point is, and then you have, well, I actually really like the PowerYourLifeToday.com. That's your ebook, right? Or you have an ebook connected to that.
Right. So, yeah, those are my five power principles that I think everyone needs to know how to use those mindset tools for everyday personal mental hygiene. Like a toothbrush for your brain.
Yeah. So now, obviously, this is separate. I mean, even if somebody's not following you on the Body Buddy World, Body Buddies podcast, or the body-buddies.com site, again, guys, this will all be in the show notes. You'll be able to look it up on livethefuel.com. So put your pen down and just listen. But the point is that this Power Your Life piece, I like it because this is big picture stuff. You don't have to be already a Body Buddies person or whatever. But the cool thing is, power of marketing is if somebody finds Body Buddies and then they kind of all of a sudden find Power Your Life, or maybe they find Power Your Life first and that leads them to Body Buddies, whatever it may be here, that's what, you know, that's cross-pollination. And yeah. In my experience, that's the good stuff, man. That's the stuff that I want to see because there's too much bad crap going on out there right now.
Yeah. Well, and when every conversation I have with people, I mean, that's all I do all day is interact with people, and every conversation is going into the pain and the emotions and the mindset. And I do more spiritual work with people. In the end, I'm like, look, I can teach y'all the nutrition fitness stuff easy peasy. Go listen to my podcast. It's all out there. Read my book. But getting into the things of deep down and that inner subconscious programming of where do we put our truth? What stories do we tell ourselves? What have we allowed to be programmed in? And that's actually the book that will be released in April on my 30th birthday. It's called Self-Mastery Secrets. And writing it has been the most beautiful experience because all it is putting down all of the things I have learned in the past 5 years of reprogramming myself from the most self-loathing, self-hating, depreciating, punishing person who never felt I was good enough in anything, to a person who truly loves myself. I do.
Well, and I think that's important to, I love the transparency, number one. Number two, real quick on the book, is that coming out like in print and audio, or how are you doing that one?
Yes, we're doing audio, print, and Kindle.
Okay, because like, so right now, because I'm loving your energy, let's commit to get you back on here right before launch so we can just get a little more energy behind it, because I have nothing to tag it to right now. But that's cool though, because the keywords and everything will be in the show notes. So at least we'll maybe start getting the Google steam building.
Oh, thank you.
But anytime you come out with a book, I love a transformational story. I geek out on those. I love books where I hear about or I read about somebody coming from a bad place and finally finding that great place, but also sharing the journey along the way. And I think the positive of transparency of that and showing the truth is refreshing. A lot of people are afraid to bear all, basically, which is kind of what you're doing here.
Right. Well, and it has been very, very scary. But I think the thing that's kept me going is getting messages from people who've known me my whole life. And they have sent me messages over the years just saying, I have watched your journey from the beginning and I can't even tell you how inspiring it is. And usually those come at a time where I'm like, oh my gosh, like I haven't even progressed and where am I even going? And everyone has those thoughts and doubts, but receiving those and actually hearing how much people have witnessed this transformation that comes from a light within. I mean, the body stuff is cool, but that's not where the road stops. It's really what our entire energy is all about. And if people find me on Facebook, they will see my personal profile is 100% positivity, faith, optimism. I don't believe in anything less than. I don't believe in the trivial things of the day because there's not time for that. And people need to find this empowerment in our thoughts. That's the only way we're all going to make it day to day. I mean, people struggle to even get out of bed in the morning. What's our purpose? The humdrum, the day-to-day just hanging on by a thread. And I just, if I could talk to the one person out there listening to this who is in that space, I would tell you, you don't just try and tread water. You kick your freaking legs for all you've got and you get that head up because you can. Sometimes you need to be told. You kick. And you kick hard.
Well, and that's a good point here. The people who are hearing this, if they're being drawn to what you're doing, and again, we already talked about the Body Buddies site, and we just brought up the whole PowerYourLifeToday.com site. And I noticed on there you've got coaching packages and coaching by the hour is so awesome because some people want more than just a free e-guide.
Right.
But sometimes some people, that's all they need. So that's one thing I like about the Power Your Life Today site is that, hey, if you just need a new coaching kit to see if this is the one that's going to finally work for you, cool. Try it out. It's free.
Right, absolutely.
It can't hurt. So we'll obviously have that listed in the show notes as well. But why did you build your coaching packages? Why did you... I love this stuff because you're only one person, number one.
Yeah.
So there's only so many people you can impact on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And for people like yourself who finally clicked and started building a brand online, you've realized I need to scale. I can only do so much. And I also need to bill my time for what it's worth. So
totally.
Legitimate coaching packages should not be cheap, people. Like if you're looking for a $100 coach, you don't get it. So What took you to this point, I guess? What helped you figure this out?
Well, this is a great topic. Let me just start by saying that because this is something I've worked with business coaches and mentors over the years because I've been very aware I have a programming deep inside myself that's keeping my prices lower. So if you think back to the story I talked about, and this will maybe help some of our listeners understand subconscious programming. So if the whole purpose for me experiencing the world of dance at the high level I have and being so successful in it came from one woman's generosity, then who am I? Who am I to not offer that same opportunity or experience for people who need that? And so this has been something I've been playing around with for years. And I will say I'm a very busy person because of how, consumed my time is in coaching. But I have never found, at least at this point, I have never found that there is not a space in my heart to help somebody. Now, I will never, ever do freebies, ever. But the coaching pricing out there just shocks me because here's the way I look at it. Who are the people who need coaching the most, who need that hand up, who need that belief that they can do more and be more? Let's get real. It's our middle class and our lower class. Can they afford $4,000 to $5,000 coaching packages? Hell no.
No.
No. And to me, this is the problem with society, is that everything is catering to help ourselves, help ourselves, help ourselves. And everything is catering to this high level of people who are the higher class.
Well, I'm the one with you right there because I'm a huge self-help consumer.
Yeah.
But all of us reach a point where it's like, okay, dude, you can only do so much by yourself. If you want to level up, you got to get a coach.
I mean, absolutely.
You and I both have worked with business coaches. Why? We need to get ourselves to the next level, man. You need somebody in your corner that's going to call you on your BS.
I think it's idiocy for somebody who's trying to push themselves to a higher level to not look for a coach or a mentor because you can't do it on your own. I love the saying of birds of a feather flock together. Are you a pigeon or are you an eagle? My feeling is if you better look for eagles because they soar and they find the food they want rather than pigeons just take the food given to them. Huge mindset change there.
The pigeons are the followers.
They are. And it's not bad if any of our listeners feel like, oh my gosh, I'm in that space. It's okay. But you need to look for those eagles because they can teach you how to be an eagle. And when you are an eagle, you have the power of influence. And that, to me, in my life, is what's worth living for. That's the reason I get out of bed in the morning. That's why I have happiness each day. So when people are looking for what's the point of all this to bless people's lives, that is where happiness is achieved, in my personal opinion.
I love that.
This is fun.
You're dropping some serious bombs here, man. I'm like, whoa, I had to take there for a second. I'm like, man, that was good.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and you just look at, and a lot of my spiritual beliefs feed into all of this as well, which I'm not going to go into those, but I would ask and each person to look inside and whatever their spiritual beliefs, I'd say have some purpose that grounds you and allows you to find purpose and meaning in everything. When you tap into that, it's a very beautiful place.
I mean, you don't necessarily need church for that. I mean, I'm sure you'll differ on personally, but I have friends of mine who don't even need to go to church, but they're very faithful. And they have that every single day. They do. They actually, one guy has like a bracelet with beads on it. And he counts every bead every morning. And every bead, he says something that he's grateful for and everything. It's a whole system that he's developed. And it's pretty cool. I know other people who, hey, they're big into Buddha and yoga and all that balance of energy and lifestyle. So everybody's got a different path to choose. The most important thing is you actually choose the path and actually follow it and actually commit to, you know, getting your crap together.
right. Instead of just being a victim of everything happening. It's funny you mentioned Buddha because I lived in South Korea for a total of 2 years, two separate times.
I thought I saw a Korea photo, so like an airport photo of you like leaving or whatever. And I'm like, okay,
yes,
that,
you really
maybe that'll come up. Oh, well, hey, if I'm going to bring on a co-host, because again, this isn't an interview. This is you and I getting to know each other. Okay. This is what real life is about, people. This isn't about, oh, well, Scott's show. So he has the power and he interviewed. No, I want people to listen to this and like get to know you like I'm getting to know you. And we're building relationships. This is what human beings are supposed to do.
Yes, and not over Snapchat, people, like in real life.
Yeah, I have a Snapchat profile. I used it for a week and I haven't logged back in since. And that was
really
months ago.
I can't do it.
I can't. I'm like, everybody's got their own platform.
Right. It's more for, I think the millennials are really hitting that one hard. I am on Snapchat. If anyone wants, it's K-Dizzle4Rizzle with the number 4 and double Z's.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Say that again.
All right. K-Dizzle, D-I-Z-Z-L-E, 4, like the number, and then Rizzle, R-I-Z-Z-L-E, because I rant. That's where I do my KJO rants on nutrition, fitness, and mindset. And you will not see pictures of my dog or cats, which I don't have any.
All right. It's fun. It's fun. But again, it's free coaching, so it's all what it's worth. But I'm like,
heck yeah.
From a branding perspective, that confuses me. Because me, like I exist everywhere on Live the Fuel. So it's like, all right, there's just one place. Like just look for Live the Fuel and I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
That's, we'll put that in the show notes. Don't worry about that. Cause I'm like, I gotta quote that.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, cause I swore I would not have Snapchat for business. Like for the second it came out, I was like, nope, that's just for me and my family and my friends.
Yeah.
And it finally got to the point I'd done enough research on the statistics and things. You think about it as a marketer for your business, Facebook and Instagram are scroll feeds. People are just thumbing through, blah, 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 blah. But on Snapchat, they are coming specifically to watch your story. You have a one-on-one time with that individual.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah, and so my numbers actually there are the most powerful. And so I just kept my handle, K-Dizzle4Rizzle, and haven't changed it.
Well, I mean, again, the interesting thing about me is I am my brand. Right. Mm-hmm. Technically, you are too. But that's how I decided. I was like, you know, I could put myself out there as Scott Mulvaney, or I could build a brand behind my name. And Live the Fuel was important to me because Live the Fuel technically stands for Live the Fired Up Epic Life because of the firefighting and me, the adrenaline junkie, the whole word epic. I mean, all these things. It took me like a month to figure that out. But I just took pieces of my life, threw them up on a wall with some Post-its. With keywords on them, and then figured out a phrase that I wanted to stand for. And actually, it's kind of funny. An old quote by Ernest Hemingway, which I've always loved, is live life to the fullest. So that's why I decided, well, I love that. Let me make my own version of that. And I decided to create Live the Fuel. So
what a great backstory to that.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. You got to tie your life together with it. So that's why I was like, you know what? It's not, it's business, but it's also me. That's the whole point of this podcast, right? It's like, yeah, we're talking a little bit about business, but a lot of other content on this show was not business. This was, dude, this is what it's about, all right? This is about attracting people to other people, okay? People are going to be drawn to me versus drawn to you and vice versa. I've had other mindset people on here. Actually, this morning's episode went live. Dr. Julie Amato from Mind of the Athlete team. And then back on episode 21, another psychology PhD from their team, Dr. Megan Cannon. And I love psychology. And the funny thing is, you're not a PhD. You got a whole lot of other letters. But you actually have a great, great background in mindset development. I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. Well, and that's what I tell people. Some come to me to hear about my coaching and how successful my people are. And they're like, so tell me all about your credentials. I'll be honest, Scott, like my stuff is very basic. And I've chosen to be that way because I am very against formal training. I wanted to develop my own ways. It's very much a Gary Vaynerchuk mindset. Yes. And my nutrition methods, everyone's like, how did you learn this? I pioneered this for you.
It's called real life.
Yes. Like, no joke, though. It's called freaking being in the trenches and figuring out a system that works. And that's why it's so successful for people coming from eating disorders, because it's a mindset budgeting tool rather than the traditional ways, which are perpetuating the eating disorder problems. So my feeling is that's not for everyone, but for people like you and I who are very deep thought minded people, like we are constantly challenging the status quo. In that level of thinking, it's very difficult to conform, because I'll tell you what, there's no way I could have put my book out on nutrition had I been through a formal dietetics program. Had I, you know, done any of, nobody teaches how to connect dance and kinesiology and lifting together. Nobody teaches.
Don't even get me going on the whole collegiate world of nutrition degrees.
Oh, they're crap.
And I'm sorry, if I've got nutritionists listen to this show, I have no problem calling you out. Pull your heads out of your butts.
Thank you.
Don't listen to the crap you learned in school, because it's all government-driven and backwards. The food pyramid is backwards. We need to pull our heads out of our butts, think for ourselves, and actually live a real-life example.
Amen. I couldn't have said it better. And I'll tell you what, Scott, how many dietitians come to me and they're like, your book was the first book that made sense.
Look at that.
I'm like, Well, and I think the overall message for all of us is, let's challenge that status quo. It's okay to think bigger. If you think of anybody who ever created anything or made waves in this world, it's because they didn't just conform to the expectation of thought. So whether that's in business or relationships or religion or in anything, fitness, don't conform, seek to become, and you determine what you become.
I'm loving that.
And that's where self-fulfillment is. That's where validation and becoming your own best friend. You stop becoming codependent, whether it's outer addictions, whether it is relationships that are really rotten. How many people get stuck in those because that inner validation's not happening?
Well, it's the whole point here is we are individual human beings. It is okay to think as an individual. Yes, it's okay to come together as a community, work together, create teamwork, you know, networking, all that other stuff. But when it comes to your health and wellness, we all need to become self-taught. You can't depend on somebody else all the time. They can't fully depend on you all the time. You are not there 24/7 with them. You're trying to develop systems and programs for them to follow, but in the end, they still have to hold themselves accountable to take action on what you or myself or others are teaching them. So again, that's just another venting for me.
Well, no, and I love that. And what you bring up, a really good point, that word accountability. Yes. Maybe we can talk about that, because most people, we were talking about the need for a coach or a mentor. That's really what you're hiring a person for. Mm-hmm. Usually that's what needs to motivate a human to, not like we're going to motivate anything else, but you know, us people, to make changes, because that knowledge that we will be checking in. And so, yes, you might be paying people for knowledge and education, but essentially what you're paying them for is that self rising, that feeling of dedication to checking in and doing what you need to do.
Owning your future.
Owning it, absolutely. So how do people be accountable if they're not working with a coach or a mentor? I have my systems, but I'm curious if you have any systems that have been very helpful.
Yeah, it's funny, because I've been in and out of coaching for years. Besides being a ski race coach and a CrossFit coach, like I was actually, before I left for the firefighting, I was a coach in the business world. They got rid of our managerial titles. We went through a lot of overhauling of the training and etiquette and how you stop managing people and develop them and coach them. And one of the biggest things that I've realized over the years is that part of coaching is not being afraid to hold the person accountable. Because if they haven't learned to do that for themselves yet, we as a coach at least have to do that. But one of the lessons I learned years ago was I took that too far, and I felt like I was basically managing their life for them because they weren't willing to. And eventually you got to say, you know what? You're not right. I want to be here for you, but I don't think our relationship is going to work. I've literally turned people away. Like, not everybody is the right customer or coaching relationship. I want to reiterate that. Like,
yes,
there's an evaluation process. Just because you pay some money and you go on my website or your website, for example, and they hire you, doesn't mean that that's a guarantee. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you do an interview style or anything like that, but
I do because it has to be a fit.
You gotta be ready.
And here's the thing is, if this is my number one, I will not coach them. If they come in and tell me, so I know so much about nutrition and fitness, and I just like need to dial in a little bit more. I'm like, you're not ready to be coached.
Right.
I know through a few questions, because I have worked with a lot of dietitians and I've worked with a lot of very educated people in nutrition. And only if they will allow me to wipe the slate clean and start from scratch will I work with them. Otherwise, I'm not going to fight them on it. I'm not. And I got messaged yesterday. A woman said, so I'm going to get a consultation from you because my husband won't listen to me. So will you convince him that he needs to be changing up his carb intake and his cardio? And I messaged her back. I said, sweetheart, that's, you know, thoughtful of you to think of a gift for him. But I don't convince anyone of anything. Here are some podcasts for him to listen to if he decides he would like to be coached and is open to consider my perspective. I would love to have that opportunity. But people want to fix their spouses more than it sickens me. I'm people, worry about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It's and actually, to answer your question better, for example, over the weekend, I had somebody new come on my coaching team for my nutrition team. Mm-hmm. And the guy, it was funny. He and I met through volunteer work, rebuilding some mountain biking trails and fixing some downed trees from a storm because we're huge bikers. And we talked a little bit about nutrition, and he had used to be a personal trainer, and his life got crazy, things got out of whack, and you know, put on some weight. So I don't need to teach him how to work out. I don't need to teach him about meal planning and stuff. The dude already knows that. Right. He just needed some support. He needed somebody to get him to that point. But more than that, that happened 2 months ago. He and I met. Mm-hmm. He didn't finally sign up until this weekend. Why? Because I never pushed him. He told me. He said I wasn't ready. And he said, the reason why I'm working with you versus others is because you never tried to sell me. So that was part of my system as a very light answer for you, because it's other layers. But it's like, I will not force. I made that mistake years ago. You can't force a horse to drink the water. You can you can obviously bring the horse to the water. Yes. In the end, you got to drink it.
Yes. And as somebody who rides horses quite often, I love that analogy. It's so true, though. And we cannot make people change. We can be incredible coaches, but guess what? We can't make anyone do a darn thing.
Nope. You have to be thirsty.
They have to come. Yeah. Yeah. And that starts with you. You know, so all of our listeners looking inside and asking yourself those hard questions of, first of all, if you've made it to this part in the podcast, good for you. That means you're hungry. Good. Now go do something with it.
Yeah. And hopefully you find that Chrissy Joe is really ringing true in your head, and you're going to go visit all the websites. And if you don't worry, guys, go to the website. It'll all be on the show notes when you hear this. So, but that's, at least for me, that's the biggest thing, guys. Like, you got to be accountable, whether it's, you're hearing it from me, you're hearing it from her. I'm sure you've heard it from other people. Like, take the time to become accountable, own your future, and then finally man or woman up and ask for help. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, I'm rocking the guy power here, but I'm a big supporter of the girl power, and Chrissy Joe is clearly rocking some serious girl power. So
thank you.
You are.
Well, and let me say this, because I have many people who, when they get to know me, they're like, I thought you were this huge old feminist, and then I got to know you, and you're actually not. I'm a huge supporter of gender roles, and perhaps that comes from my Mormonism background, but I believe in empowered women. And women, like, we can go kick some butt, but there are different roles. And so will you find me cooking and probably cleaning and doing some of those things? Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not to overtake, but I don't know. I have a very interesting viewpoint on what men should do and become and what women should do and become. And when we do that, we work synergistically, and it's very beautiful. So becoming the best we each can be allows, I think, for better relationships, for better workplaces. There's no stepping over each other's roles, but becoming the best we can be within our talents and our gifts.
I love that. Well, We've had an amazing episode here today. This has been awesome. I can't wait to bring you back on.
I've had a blast. Oh, we this could probably been, talk for hours.
I need to go back and listen to it. I listened to all the episodes, but I'm like, I got to go back and listen because there's so much stuff that we talked on. I'm like, my head is swimming.
One of those you sit back and breathe.
Exactly. And so you've already left a lot of messaging for our audience. And if you did listen to one of the other episodes of the show, so thank you. But one of the common themes that I've done for all of our co-hosts is it's not about me, it's about you and our listeners. So is there an all-encompassing or an umbrella message that you're kind of putting out to the universe right now, out to your population, out to your communities, that you would like to close your show out today? A message that you want to leave for our listeners that's kind of like, hey, if you forget everything else on the show.
Yes.
This is Christy Joe.
Yes. When you power your body, you position yourself to power your life and to go and become a person of more value, love, and service. And that is what this world needs, because you have unique gifts and skills to contribute to this world. But starting on the cellular level of your body is where you need to begin. So power your body in order to power your life.
That was epic. All right, guys. Christy Joe, please stay online because I'm going to say goodbye. But guys, ladies and gentlemen, all of you who are listening to this show as this show continues to grow, this was some powerful messaging today. As we talked about a lot of content, a lot of different websites, everything's going to be in the show notes. Don't worry about it. You'll be able to go to livethefuel.com and her episode will be there and you'll be able to copy it all down and click away. It's very, very detailed thanks to my VA. So again, guys, the point of Live the Fuel is we want to fuel your health, your business, and your lifestyle. Lifestyle is the big picture here, guys. So if you haven't gotten that from today, I'm sorry. Please stop listening to the show. I don't know what to tell you. So again, guys, keep living the fire to epic life. Check out Christy Joe. Everything's going to be in the show notes. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Have an epic week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. This is Scott Mulvaney, your host. I wanted to leave you today with some final notes and action steps to help you continue to fuel your health, business, and lifestyle. One, if you have visited livethefuel.com and scroll to the bottom of the site, you'll notice that I have my free giveaway on there. It is called the Super Sevens Resource Guide. So please take advantage of that. You just got to plug in your email and you'll accept that and it'll send you a nice little PDF file for you to download. But most importantly, it is literally my guide that got me going. It's all my connections and links for basically help you start up health and business resources. There's going to be my top podcasts, books and audiobooks that I've gotten me going, health and business related websites that I've used. I even threw in a quick Super Sevens bonus tools. This is on entrepreneurial business tips, things that I've used to get my website going, my business going, to help you guys launch your sites, etc. More importantly, now that I've gotten that out of the way, I'm going to remind you guys about important action steps that I have listed on our amazing show notes on the website. So real quick, I want to do a shout out to the man behind Live the Fuel, Martin Hollins of eva.fm, eva.fm, not .com. Check him out. If you're a podcaster, he is the virtual assistant's guru when it comes to busy podcasters, and he is the success behind the success of this show. So check him out. Action steps. If you haven't read the show notes or gone to livethefuel.com and looked at the list of notes and important highlights we call out from every single episode, please check it out. So a reminder, your action steps are: one, if you like this show, do us a solid. Go submit an iTunes review. We would love that. The Stitcher app now has a review of each feature as well. So please get us some reviews. Let me know how I'm doing. Again, this is for you, not just for me. And again, we have our own community growing on Facebook now called The Fuel Tank. So if you're a Facebook user and you're looking for a community and you're trying to get closer to myself, our show, and what we're trying to put out there in the messaging, go check out The Fuel Tank on Facebook. And lastly, again, guys, Live the Fuel is everywhere. You could follow me anywhere on social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. I have a professional profile on LinkedIn as well. You name it, you can find me. So please reach out. I'm happy to help. I'm happy to help you grow. And again, our message is to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. Keep living the fired up epic life, guys. Later.